about to begin the next malacha. This malacha is relatively shorter than some of the malachas that we've been talking about, but hopefully we'll still spend a little bit of time on this malacha. That is the malacha of ma'amer, the malacha of gathering together. So comes the Gemara and starts out with ma'amer. Sorry about a little bit of a mix-up with the Ma'amer Kamos, so we'll try to lead on a Tashra Bafei here. So comes the Gemara in Shabbos, Nafai Gilam of Beis, and starts out with the Malacha of Ma'amer, and introduces a case of Ma'amer that at first glance is very little to do with Ma'amer. Usually when you think about Malacha Ma'amer, so you think of people out in the fields. Usually the pasuk about Yosef and his brothers and the dreams start to come to mind. Ma'amim alamim v'socha sodeh. We're gathering the sheaves of grain together. That's usually the two of the Malacha Ma'amer. So I'm a Rav on Shabbos and Gilam of Beis. The Rav tells us that if a person gathers salt from a salt mine, so one is chayim mishum amer. I don't know too much about gathering salt. I think what it's describing, the way at least Rashi explains it, is that the salt is being collected from the ocean, and a part of the ocean water is evaporating in certain areas, and you're left behind with these big piles of salt. If a person goes out and collects all the salt together, he is chayiv b'shum amer. Of course, chayiv is always a magic word to mean it's an issa deraisa. So Rava tells us that just as gathering grain is a malacha deraisa, so to gather salt would be deraisa as well. Abaye amar, Abaye responds, einima el b'gedula karka, that the malacha of imar, the malacha of amar, can only be violated, at least min haTorah, with gedula karka, something growing in the ground, of course in contrast to salt, which would at worst only be a derabanan. So we have a seems to be machleik is Abai and Rava as to whether the malacha the araisa of ma'amer carries over to any kind of gathering, or whether it's limited only to things that grow in the ground. Why would one suggest that the malacha is limited only to gedula karka? What's that based on? What's the svara? So the Rif in the second of the Rabbi Kama says, Rabbi ein derech im v'kach el gedula karka. So the Rif introduces to us a concept that, of course, we're familiar with in Melucha Shabbos, called Shaloi Kederech. If I do a malach in an abnormal fashion, that's, by definition, not going to be a deraisa. Some of the examples, the Mishnayim tell us, if a righty writes with his left hand, that's only a malach, it's only a derabanan, because of a smaller potter. Or let's say if a person carries in a strange way, puts something into his hat instead of into his pocket, so a person carries it in a bizarre way, it's only a derabanan. Anytime you do malach in a strange way, that by definition is not a deraisa. So Abai seems to be saying that this is a strange way of doing imur. Imur is done with grain. Imur is done out in the field, but a farmer is a guy collecting salt. So that's a very strange way of doing it. And ein derech imur b'kach el b'gedula karka. It's a very difficult shot what the Rif is telling us, because there's nothing strange with collecting salt, provided that you need salt. It means that normally when we think about kliyach yad, it means I have a certain goal to accomplish. I want to get writing down on this piece of paper. So there are two ways of doing it. Either I can do it with my right hand, or I can do it with my left hand. Doing it with my right hand is normal, that's deraisa. Doing it with my left hand is bizarre, that's midrabbanan. Well, let's say, I want to get this safer across the street. So I can either carry it in my hand, or I can stick it under my arm or something. So if I do it in a normal way, that's deraisa. I do it in an abnormal way, that's midrabbanan. Here, my goal is to get salt out of the salt mine. So what are you telling me what I'm doing is bizarre? Why is that bizarre? I want salt. That's normal. They have salt mines. The salt mines for a reason. People collect salt. So to tell me that it's not similar, it's abnormal from the way the malach is practiced, why is that abnormal? What's strange about that? For the person who wants to collect salt, he's doing it in a normal manner. So it's a very difficult concept that the Rif is telling us. He's applying the principle of Shalei Kederech to this kind of activity. Tosfos and other sugyas concerning other malachas on Shabbos writes that whenever the Gemara says that you require gedula karka, that has nothing to do with shalei kederech. The requirement of gedula karka, that certain malachas are limited only to things that are growing in the ground. So Tosfos invokes the magic word, mishkan. It's got to be similar to the mishkan. Everything in Shabbos is patterned after the mishkan. So just as the malachas of malach of imur was done with gedula karka, it was done with the herbs that they were collecting in order to create the dyes for the Mishkan. That's one version of the Rishonim. Other Rishonim say that Ma'amar in the Mishkan was done collecting grain in order to bake the lechem upon him, to bake the bread for the Mishkan. Whatever the exact malacha was, it was clearly done with gedula karka. And therefore, argues Tosfos, whenever something deviates from that model of gedula karka, it's not similar enough to Mishkan. Not because it's shalei kederech malacha, but just simply doesn't meet the criteria of being similar to Mishkan. However you slice it, it's clearly this is only Shita Zavaye, and Rava disagrees. According to Rava, even collecting the salt would be a deraisa. According to Abaye, collecting the salt would only be a derabbanan. How do we pass in the halacha in this machlagis? On the third of the Rambam Kamos, the Rambam writes, via an email of Gedulei Karka. So the Rambam writes that we pass in that ma'amir, the malacha deraisa, only applies to Gedulei Karka. Anything else would at worst only be with the Rabbanan. So the Rambam clearly passed like Abaye, which of course leads us to a problem. Why would one pass like Abaye? We know this is an age-old rule. We have Machlokes, Abaye, and Rava, so we always follow Rava with the six exceptions, what we call the famous Yal Kigams. There are six cases, lone cases, spread throughout Shas, that the halacha happens to be like Abaye, but as a general rule, we pass it like Rava. Remember years ago when I was saying, when I first started saying Shia and Yeshiva, so I had a boy in my Shia, who, I don't know, he didn't impress me as being, you know, the top, the greatest masman, or the top notch in terms of his Yediyah Satara. We're sitting in the back of the shul one day, and we bumped into a sug of Yachagam, that one of the cases that the halacha is like Abaye rather than Rava. So I just wrote a question to the shul. I just said, "No, who could rattle off the Yachagams quickly?" So this kid, half asleep in the back, raises his hand and says, "Yishlamida says Zamein, my friend, it's a lecher, it's a babish," like that. So I stopped and I asked him. I said, "Mechilas Kveinch," I said, "How do you know the Yachagam?" So I didn't say, I didn't expect you to know. I said, "Where'd you learn the Yachagam?" Just like that, at the tip of your tongue. So he says to me that he looked like a regular American kid. So he said to me, he grew up when he was a kid, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And his parents sent him to a Yerushalmi Cheder. I don't know, he had an interesting background to start educationally. So he went to a real heavy-duty Yerushalmi Cheder. He said, he doesn't remember too much, but he remembered drilled into Yachagam. He knew what the tip is done. So anyway, but the Maaseh is not one of the Yachagam. The bottom line is that we should paskin like Rav, not like Abaye. So the Chayyid Rambam is very difficult. How could the Rambam say that in Ima Elik Budula Karka, if in fact that we should always paskin like Rav? So this is not our kasha. This is the Ramach's kasha. Ramach is a Moshe Kohen. We've had him before in Yom Shabbos. He wrote a running commentary on the Rambam. We only have parts of it. We happen to have it in Yom Shabbos. So the case of Mishnah quotes the Ramach, and the case of Mishnah asked his Bam kasha, Lami niyach Rav posik yabai? Why did he veer from paskining like Rav? We should paskin like Rav that yechayef from Amir even on non-gedulei karka. So it's Tzorchi and Gobel on the Rambam. So it comes against the Mishnah and says, it's not such a Tzorchi and Gobel on the Rambam. It's very simple. It says against the Mishnah, we have the wrong people in Agamara. We started off Agamara by reading, Amar Rava, the person who collects the salt, is Chayav. And Abaye responds, Ein Imo Ela B'Gedulei Karka. Says against the Mishnah, you have the wrong gears in the Gemara. It's not Amar Rava, it's Amar Rabba. There's a difference. They're two different people. One was Rava and one was Rava. Rava was the Rebbe, and the uncle of Abaye. Rava was a colleague of Abaye. They're like, I'm two different people. So comes the Kesavish and says, the correct Girsa is not the way we have it in Agamara. The correct Girsa is Amar Rava. Then the Kesavish writes, Ki Seifa Mutan is Damin HaRamach. He said he had the wrong Girsa. He said the correct Girsa is with a hay rather than an aleph. If that is true, that the correct girsa is in fact with a hey, not an aleph, it's a rabba against Abaye, then there is no klal that we're going to paskin like Rava. Then l'chara we should paskin like Abaye. Abaye got the last word in. Abaye, the Gemara gave Abaye the last statement. It sounds like that's in fact what the halacha is. Can we bring a raya, just a textual raya from the Gemara to which girsa is correct? Is the Ramach's girsa correct that it's Rava and Abaye, or is the Kesa Mishnah's girsa, the Rava's girsa correct that it's Rava and Abaye? Usually it doesn't make that much of a difference, but here it makes all the difference in the world. Here it's Mamash and Nafkabin and Psach Halacha. This is not just an academic discussion as to which Amor said it. This makes a difference to Halacha. So L'chora, just from the text, from the style of the Gemara, it would appear that the correct girsa is not Rava. The correct girsa is in fact Rava like the Rava. How do I know that? Because if you go through Shas, whenever there's a machlek, it's Abaye and Rava. So Abaye always speaks first, and Rava responds to Abaye, because Rava was a little bit younger than Abaye. They were contemporaries, but Abaye was a little bit older. So it's usually the Gemara starts with Amar Abaye, and then Rava Amar. Rava comes to disagree with Abaye. Here, The Gemara starts with Amar Rava, and then Abaye Amar. That's Matna. That's very strange. It's not the normal text of the Gemara. So the answer is, if it would be Rava, then it would make a lot of sense, because Rava was older than Abaye. So usually, when you have Shakmatai in the Gemara, when you have two Amar Rav speaking, so the older one goes first, that's the Makavadik way, and then the younger one responds to the older one. So if the Gir says Amar Rava, then it's chronologically out of order. If the Gir says Amar Rava, then it's perfect. So again, not an ironclad proof, but it seems to be that the more correct Girsa is the Rambam's Girsa. As such, then the Halacha most probably is, like the Rambam, that ain't ima elab gidul karka. That's how we generally pass in the halacha, that ain't ima elab gidul karka. The halacha de rice of gathering is limited to karka. Anything else is on a mid rabbanon. L'chora, there's more reason, besides just a little bit of a textual nuance, there's more of a reason for us to believe that the halacha ba'amer is limited to gidul karka, the things growing on the ground, based on a general question that we've already spoke about in the past concerning the halacha of kaitzer, as to certain malachas are limited to karka. This is not the first discussion we've had, even this year, about whether certain malachas are limited to gedula karka or not. We spoke about this concerning two malachas. We spoke about it, about malacha of kotzer. Can you have harvesting from non-gedula karka? If you remember, we spoke about the Rishalmi, about trapping fish. Is that considered to be malacha of kotzer? It's not gedula karka. And we spoke about it, we touched on it, concerning the malacha of disha, of threshing. If I thresh something, if I squeeze something out, I apply pressure and I get something out, extract something, if what I'm extracting is not gedula karka, would that be a malacha deraisa or not? So that was a machlekes atanoim. Is disha applied? Does disha apply only to gedula karka, or does disha apply even to non-gedula karka? So come to Rishonim and make an observation. We have in the paskin halacha that ain disha ela begedula karka. We paskin that you only chayev on disha if it's gedula karka. If that's the case, then ein disha ela begedula karka, then it makes a lot of sense that ein imur ela begedula karka. It's really the same question. Namely, are we deriving this detail from Mishkan? We know that all of the Chashavas are patterned after the Mishkan. We have to always ask ourselves which characteristics of Mishkan carry over to the Malachas. Just because the Malacha was done in a certain manner in the Mishkan doesn't mean that every single detail of those characteristics carry over to Chashavas. Well, Marshall, in the Mishkan, they were doing 39 malachas. They were doing it in a desert. So would you say, an interesting chiddush, you only chayef for Chilul Shabbos if you do malachas in a desert. If you do malachas where it's cold, you're not chayef. So that's absurd. Obviously, that particular detail, that it was in the desert, is not relevant to Chilul Shabbos. So you have to figure out which details of Mishkan were relevant and which details were not relevant. So would anybody say something so silly that, well, you only chayef for malach on Shabbos if your name starts with a bay like Bezalel? So again, also absurd. There are only certain things that are important and certain things that are irrelevant. So the question becomes, is gedula karka important, or is gedula karka really just tangential, just irrelevant? So that was a machlekes atanoim. So Rabbi Yehuda said that you're over the malacha of disha, of threshing, even with non-gedula karka. He said, gedula karka. It's true that in the Mishkan they practiced it with gedula karka, but that's an irrelevant piece of information. And the Chacham said, no, that's very relevant. That is the essence of the malacha, that the malacha of disha is a malachas karka. And therefore, if you do it with non-gedula karka, you're not going to be chayev. So you have a machlekes atanoim. Then you have a similar machlekes amarayu about ma'amer. Are you chayev a ma'amer and non-gedula karka? So l'chor, it's the same shayla. Namely, does that characteristic of gedula karka, is that critical or is that kind of tangential? So we who paskin la'alocha, that ain't disha ela b'gedula karka, it would make sense l'shitaseinu that we should follow this theme throughout the malachas. We should say ein disha el b'gedula karka as well as ein ma'amir el b'gedula karka. That's what I would have said, and that's what the Rambam seems to say: ein disha el b'gedula karka, ein ma'amir el b'gedula karka, etc. But the Ramach gets himself into trouble, because the Ramach, we just said a moment ago, paskins like what he thought was Rava, that malach of ma'amir applies to non gedula karka. Even though he also paskins that ain't disha el b'gedula karka, so he throws his hands up and he says that afagav the rav agufi yomer ain't disha el b'gedula karka. He says v'tzorchir. He says it's a pella. Says the Ramach. L'chori, you have to be consistent. If you insist on gedula karka as a criteria for malachas, so then if it's true by disha, it should be true by ma'amar as well. So the Ram says, yeah, tachin nochinami really is true.
So there are certain things that legamrei, like certain things are only relevant to behemoth, certain things are only.
Right, the problem is that l'chora, the closer the malacha is to the Chorish and Zareah malachas, the more gedula karka it should be. Because Chorish is clearly in the karka. Zareah is in the karka. Kalutz and Pash is in the karka. Ma'amer, Lachor is in the karka also. As you get further away from the ground, then you're more willing to negotiate it being not gedula karka. Let's say, Lamashal, Bishal. The mloch of cooking. Would anybody say you're only chai for cooking if it's gedula karka? That's absurd. The word says beferish, you're chai for other things as well. So you don't have to have gedula karka in order to be chai on cooking. What about, let's say, the mloch of losh, of kneading? Would kneading apply to non gedula karka? A little bit less clear.
Bishul, if you put a piece of steel.
Right, absolutely, you're chai. Absolutely. It's an issur deraisa, right?
No, it's an
issur of bishul. Absolutely, right. If you melt, harden, whatever it is, right? Chai bishul bishul. When you get to other malachas, teichein is grinding. Does that apply only to gedula karka? That's also a question. So as you get further and further away from chayresh, chayresh and zareh and kaitzer, the question becomes a little bit less clear. So here, when it comes to Malachas Ma'amer is before Malachas Disha. So it's a little bit of a Kavachomer. Madach Disha threshing, which is further down the line, we insist, Ein Disha Ela B'gedula Karka. How much more so should we insist that Ein Ma'amer Ela B'gedula Karka? So to say that Ma'amer doesn't apply, to say that Ma'amer applies outside of Gedula Karka, and yet still say Ein Disha Ela B'gedula Karka seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. It was so problematic that one of the Rishonim, the Sefer HaShlomo, Ben Meshula, one of the Rishonim, was so bothered with this kasha, but on the other hand, he was so convinced that we paskin like the gears of quote unquote Rava, that there is Ma'amer by non gedula karka, that he said, guess what? Because we paskin like Rava, that there's Ma'amer by non gedula karka, we must therefore paskin like Rabbi Huda, that there's Disha Shlomo gedula karka also. He also believed that the two are inseparable, but in the other direction. The Rambam said that the two are inseparable. Whatever you hold by one, you hold by the other. The Rambam says, we paskin ein disha ala b'dula karka. And we also paskin ein ma'amir ala b'dula karka. Collecting the salt is ala b'dura b'dura. So the Rambam believed that there's no way to separate between the two malachas. Ma'amir and dasha are the same thing. They both carry over that characteristic of b'dula karka as being absolutely critical to the malacha. And either one, non gedula karka, is going to be in the rabbanan. The Sefer HaShlomo said the exact same thing. The two malachas are inseparable. When you hold in one, you hold in the other. It's just that the Sefer HaShlomo held the opposite of the Rambam. The Sefer HaShlomo said his starting point was Ma'amir. Since by Ma'amir we paskin like Rava, which the Rambam says was the wrong girsa, but by Ma'amir we paskin like Rava, that there's Ma'amir deraisa by collecting salt. If there's Ma'amer deraisa by salt, then there's Disha deraisa by non gedula karka. So both the Rambam and the Sefer HaShlomo are the same team, that they both hold the two malachas are inseparable. The only problem is that they hold them in different directions. The Rambam says they're both potter, and the Sefer HaShlomo said they're both chayev. The Ramach is trying to walk this tightrope that he himself leaves the tzarchin on himself. On the one hand, he wants the paskin against Rabbi Yehuda. He wants the paskin that Ein Disha Ela B'Gedula Karka. On the other hand, he wants to paskin like Rava, that Yesh Ma'amer Shela B'Gedula Karka, which L'chor is a contradiction. So it's not, we're not the first ones to ask this kasha. He says himself, it's Achir, not himself. He asks the kasha.
What forces him to hold Ein Disha Ela B'Gedula Karka?
Because the Chacham hold that way against Rabbi Huda was a Das Yachid. So he wants to follow the Chachamim against Rabbi Huda, but he wants to paskin like Rava against the Baye. So he ends up with stevers and clawed Pesach Halacha. Normally Yachid Rav Loch Karapim, and Abaye for Rava Loch Karava. So he's got contradictions in Piskei Halacha, that's why he leaves right by Tzarchin. Of course, the Rambam wasn't bothered with the Kasha because he didn't have the Gersa Rabbah, he had the Gersa Rabbah. Sefer Shlomo would prefer to pass like Rabbi Yehuda and at least keep the two Malachas parallel to one another. So we have a little bit of an introduction to Malachas Ma'amer in terms of the issue of Gedula Karka, but we really don't know much about this Malacha. What constitutes an act of Ma'amer and what doesn't? So we started out by saying, Yosef's dreams, Ma'am, Malum, Suha Sada, that sounds like Ma'amer. However, there are several examples, several cases that are given in different Gemaras that seem not to be included in Ma'amer. And it's interesting, the whole Sugi Ma'amer is these two lines. One and a half lines in the Gemara, that's the entire Sugi Ma'amer in Shas. Most of the discussion of the Rishonim about Ma'amer is in Sugyas where Ma'amer doesn't appear. And the question that the Rishonim are bothered with, hey, what happened to Ma'amer? How come the following activity is permissible? Why isn't it a problem of Ma'amer? That's the question that the Rishonim posed in two distinct sugyas in Masechas Beitza. And the answer to those questions, hey, what happened to Ma'amir? Why do Chazal not consider Ma'amir to be a problem? Opens up the different solutions to the problem, which will open up the entire sugya of Ma'amir as to what are the guidelines, what is Ma'amir, what's not Ma'amir. So the first of the sugya
is... This is the only malacha that has so little written.
No, you have a few malachas that are very, very little about them. It happens to be one of those very, very short malachas. But again, most of the discussion about Ma'amir is what's not said at the Gemara. Why Ma'amir doesn't apply in case A, B, and C. So the first of the sugya is the sugya of Maseches Beitzah and Daf Gimel, where the Gemara is not even really talking about Hilchos Shabbos per se. It's really talking about a different topic. It's talking about what's called Gemar Malacha in the realm of Maiser. There is a halacha that anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael, any produce in Eretz Yisrael, is considered to be tevel, and one is not permitted to eat it. It's also been a Torah, not allowed to eat tevel until you separate the proper trumas and ma'aser. However, something only becomes tevel if a whole series of different steps have been reached. It has to have what's called gemar malacha. It has to be that the job has already been finished. And it has to be that I have what's called rias pnei avayis. It's already been brought inside the house, and everything is done already. Then and only then does it become tevel mederaisa. If those stages are missing, so even though it grew in Eretz Yisrael, it's not tevel mederaisa, and it has a very unique status in halacha. The status in halacha being that min haTorah you're allowed to eat it. It's not technically tevel. Just because it grows in Eretz Yisrael, that's not sufficient. It has to grow in Eretz Yisrael, complete the work of the produce, and bring it into the house. Only when those conditions are met is a tevel deraisa. Anything short of that is only tevel midirabanan. And tevel midirabanan, you're permitted to snack on a little bit. You're permitted to take a little bit of a nash on it. You're allowed to eat what's called achilas aroi. To eat achilas keva, to sit down and have a whole meal out of tevel derabanan that you're not allowed to do. But if it's a kind of a tevel derabanan that is not yet finished, it's processing, so then you're allowed to take a little bit of a grab, a little nosh out of it, but you're not allowed to have a complete meal out of it. Then the Gemara goes on and says, Mishnayos go on and say, that there are certain types of eating that are objectively considered to be like an achilas keva. Let's say a marshal on Shabbos. So a person has some fruit out in the field or something, and he hasn't finished up all the stages of to be called tevel deraisa. He wants to take a nash out of that stuff. So the Gemara says on Shabbos you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because on Shabbos even a nash is like an achilas keva. But kros l'Shabbos only, even a small little small cookie is considered to be like a chashev meal. So again, this is all on the level of the Rabbanan. The level of the Raisa, you have to wait for what's called Gemar Malacha together with the Rias Bin Abayis, etc. So we have this halacha all the time. Every summer we have this halacha, little applications of this malacha. Very often on the Moshav that we're on, so stuff falls off the trees, the guy wants to pluck something off the trees, most of the stuff is not, the Moshav's not making any money off this, Moshav couldn't care less, it's all hefker, nobody cares about the stuff. Guy wants to pluck off a grape, wants to pluck off a date or something, and eat it. So does he have to separate humus and ma'isa? So the answer is no, because as long as you just plucked it off, and you haven't actually done Gemar Malacha to it, and you haven't had Rias Pnei Abayis, so eating it, walking around in the Moshav, and just munching on a date or something out of a tree, so that's okay, that's perfectly okay. That's perfectly okay, min haTorah, and according to midirabanan, and you don't have to worry about Trumas and Ma'isis, because it hasn't had the Gemar Malacha plus Rias Pnei Abayis. So in the sugya of Gemar Malacha, in terms of Ma'isiris, the Gemara Maseches Beitzah discusses what constitutes Gemara Malacha and what doesn't constitute Gemara Malacha. So there are different stages along the way that may be considered to be you did the Malacha, you finished up, you did the job, and now it's basically processed, and now the Isser of Tevel is going to kick in. So the Gemara raises the question about the relationship between the term of Gemar Malacha vis-a-vis Trumas and Ma'isiris, in contrast or comparison to the term Malacha in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. The term sounds like it's the same, Malacha, Malacha, so does it mean that anything that qualifies as a Gemar Malacha in Ma'isiris is automatically called a Malacha in Shabbos? Or do I say no, that the terms are not the same? It's just, linguistically, we use the terms, the Malacha, but there's a very, very different image over here. One is Lamates Malachas, Abdumi Demishka, and Chashavas, etc. And one is an agricultural question, has to finish off the process or not. Are those terms necessarily identical? Can you have something that will qualify as a Gemar Malacha to be Mechayiv in Ma'aseres, yet it will fall short, it won't really be a Malacha in terms of Chashavas? So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara throws out the following question. Haramas Arema. The Gemara says that if you take certain types of produce, and you pile them up. You make an aray, quotes a mission about the onions. You take all your onions and you pile them up into a big pile out in the fields. So the Gemara says that haramas arema is considered to be a Gemara Malacha from Isis. That's when the Chiyum Isis begins to kick in. The Iluga B'Shabbos, Aramas Arema Potter. The Gemara says, just to pile things up together on Shabbos, you take a bunch of onions and you pile them up in a pile, where's the Malacha? A Malacha. So the Gemara says, you see from that distinction, that there are certain activities that the Mishnayos say explicitly are considered to be a Gemara Malacha from Isis, and they wouldn't qualify as a Malacha in terms of Lamedes Malacha. So one of the examples that the Gemara gives, the illustration of a person piling up the onions. So come the Rishonim on this Gemara and say, wait a second, hold it. And why is that not a Malacha on Shabbos? Why is it mutter to pile up your onions on Shabbos? Why is that not Ma'amer? The Gemara was talking about Ma'amer, pulling the salt out of the salt mines and piling up the salt. The only reason why maybe that's not the Arayis is because it's not Gadul Karka, and even that was questionable. But just the mere taking of onions and piling them up together, why isn't that a Malacha Ma'amer? The Gemara just ignores it. The Gemara just says, oh, and by the way, this is an example of something that is mutter on Shabbos, and yet it's a Gemara Malacha for Ma'isers. Well, stop, hold the fuck. Why is it mutter on Shabbos? What happened to Malachas Ma'amer? So that's the first question that we have. First Gemara that is talking about a different topic, and yet completely ignores the possibility of the Malacha Ma'amer. The second Gemara is actually a Mishnah later on in Maseches Beitzah, where the Mishnah is discussing, not Shabbos, it's talking about Yontif. The Mishnah is talking about gathering wood to make a fire in Yontif. We know you're allowed to make a fire in Yontif, as long as the fire was made from a pre-existing flame, that's all right. But whenever you collect firewood on Yontif, you're always running into a potential problem of Muktzah. Muktzah is also on Yontif also. You're only allowed to use things that were basically designated, that were set aside, that your mind was thinking of using when Yontif started. So if I have firewood sitting in my fireplace from before Yom Tov, if I was planning on using this wood, that's perfectly okay. There's no muktzah. But if I have to go out to the fields and go collecting firewood and go collecting logs, so maybe I didn't have in mind those logs when Yom Tov started. So those logs are potential problem of muktzah. So it's with that background that the Mishnah Maseches Beitzah gives a whole discussion. At what point do we say that the wood is considered to be muktzah? At what point do we say that the wood is not considered to be muktzah? So the Mishnah draws a distinction. The Mishnah says, if the wood is out in the fields, out in the forest somewhere, you want to start collecting the wood, then that's muktzah. But what if the wood is not out in the fields? On the other hand, it's not piled up in your fireplace. It's sitting in your storehouse. It's in your backyard somewhere where you had collected wood at one point, and now the wood's all over the place. The hefkevelt, you got a piece of wood over here, a piece of wood over there. You got twigs, you got wood, you got branches. But it's all in a place where basically it's your backyard, and you did have in mind to potentially use this wood on Yom Tov. So then the Mishnah says that it's okay. The Mishnah says you're allowed to collect ben amafuzar bekarfif. If it's in a karfif in your storage room, in your backyard, not just stam hefker out in the fields and in the forest. If it's in an area which is nearby the house, even though it's been a mefuzar, that would be okay. You're allowed to collect that wood together and use that wood for firewood. Yom Tov, don't worry about Ruchos Muktzah. So comes Taisus on the spot and says, don't worry about Ruchos Muktzah. Forget about Ruchos Muktzah. What happened to Ma'amer? Why isn't that a Malacha D'Oraisa Ma'amer? You're going to collect the wood? Who said you're allowed to do that? What happened to one of the Lamedes Malachas of Ma'amer? So it's these two questions that the Rishonim are bothered with, that the Ramach on the Rambam asks the question from the first of the Ma'amer Kavos, from the piling up of the onions. He says, why isn't the piling up of the onions a problem, Ma'amer? And then Taisin Beitzah asks the question, why isn't the collecting of the wood, even though it's in the storehouse, but you have to go collect it, and I'm a fuzer, it's all scattered around, what happened to Malacha Ma'amer? So the answer to these two questions is going to become two of the fundamental yesodos of the Malacha Ma'amer. So again, in the Gemara itself, there's very little what the Gemara tells us actually about Ma'amer. Most of the discussion of the Rishonim is going to revolve around the possible answers to this question. How come there's no Ma'amer by piling up the onions, and how come there's no Ma'amer by collecting the wood? So for Mitzvah next week, we'll try to figure out what the answers to that question are, and based on those answers, develop what really the fundamental principles of Malachas Ma'amer are all about.